Right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I think last time we made it to verse 7 in chapter 7 of Acts. And now we see the Lord showing Abraham that his seed will be in captivity. Verse 7 reads, "And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith the Lord. And after that, excuse me, they shall come forth, excuse me, and serve me in this place." And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Now, Stephen is making his case to the leaders, to the Jews that accused him. And they knew these things. Verse 9, "And the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." Whenever you're following God, wherever you end up, he's going to be with you. And he's going to help you wherever you go and whatever happens. People are very stubborn in that way. And the Lord, he always had to work with people to increase their vision, to set a new standard in order to increase their vision so that that generation can be fit for his will. Now, the Lord, I said last week, the Lord thought about this many different ways. And the scenario he chose was to let them go in the Egyptian captivity. And I used to wonder, why would he do that? But one of the first parts of prosperity, you have to learn to be a servant. And you have to learn to serve. One time I said, "Lord, what were the Egyptians like in those days? What were they like?" Because all my life I've studied man. And I wanted to know, I had a lot of questions about how things got to the point that they did. And he said, "Egyptians were show-offs." That's what he said. They were show-offs. They they believe in looking good, being the best, and they were just show-offs. So they ended up in slavery. In slavery, they learned to serve. And they make some of the best, if you buy something from a Jewish smith, it's made well. A lot of people from all over the world go to Israel to learn how to make metal, how to make all kind of swords, whatever.
Also, they're agricultural too.
Yeah.
You know, they're agricultural people come from all over the world just to learn how they do what they do. Because it's like one thing of tomatoes over there, you know, one, what do you call it, a bushel of tomatoes, they're like four times more than ours.
Yeah.
Four times. Their cows produce like six times more milk than ours. So how is that possible?
And you understand they live in a desert area. I mean, and it's some of the richest land. They can feed the world in that land.
Yes, sir. They produce, I think they export 70% of what they produce to the rest of the world.
That's awesome.
70%.
Now, the land.
They're brilliant, ain't no doubt.
And if they had, just think
but
what would
have. Thieves and robbers.
Yeah, just think what would have happened if they had kept covenant and let the land lay out. How much more it would have produced.
Yeah.
Obedience. The Lord gave me a definition for obedience yesterday. You know how Pastor said, "I've got active faith"?
Amen.
Obedience is active faith,
yes, praise
and
Lord.
Active trust.
It's good. Obedience is active faith.
Active faith and active
it's
trust.
Good.
And when you have that, you can do anything. The first commandment was be fruitful. And I watched. Those who are servants, those who serve others, they prosper faster and better than those who try to be served. People who try to be served usually have a long-term dream. But people who serve, they get things done. And when they're gone, they're missed. That's how Abraham thought. That's how Abram was. He left Haran rich, very rich. That wherever he went, kings got jealous of him. Okay, and so they learned to be a servant in Egypt. They were protected by the Egyptian army. And for the good that Egypt did, they got blessed. For the cursing that they did, they got cursed, because the promise still stands. I will bless him that them that bless thee, and I will curse him that cursed thee. So, and if you know, the Lord had me to write a book about the spirit of Egypt. It's on that on my website. Everything that happened to Israel ended up happening to Egypt, because they were instrumental in them being getting into idolatry. But that's a whole nother story. All right, verse 9. And the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the earth, over all the land of Egypt, I'm sorry, and Canaan, in great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brother, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, and 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Sychem, and laid in the sepulchre of Abraham, brought forth some of money of the sons of Emor, the sons of Sychem. But when the time of promise drew near, which God swore to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. Now, it was very important for them to be there, because the enemy would have used any surrounding nation to wipe them out. But nobody was going to go against the Egyptian army at that time. This was just wisdom. In fact, that was one time, right after Abraham begat Isaac, he had other sons, and he sent them away from Isaac. And they became the surrounding nations of Israel. So if a person came from another region of the world, everybody would have looked like the Israelites. And you know, the surrounding nations were still Abraham's. His name was Abraham, which means father of nations. So Israel is not the only nation he's the father of. And then he had his firstborn son Ishmael, had 12 sons, and they became, you know, tribes. So all this happened, but the enemy he still had the brother animosity going, and he feel that Ishmael felt like he should have been the firstborn, and they, you know, and different tribes thought that they were the best. The enemy always had something to work with, but when he had Israel in Egypt, he was going to use this situation to show the world that he's with Israel. Everybody in the world have heard about the Exodus, how Israel came out of Egypt. Okay, and he's prophesying it here. Verse 19, the same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evilly treated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end, they might not live. Now, the enemy was still trying to kill the seed of woman. And when he got wind that Moses was coming, he thought that Moses might be the seed of woman. The enemy is not perfect. He's limited in what, you know, he knew about the seed of woman from the days of Adam, but he didn't know who it'd be. And everybody he suspected, he tried to kill him, starting with Abel. He thought Abel was the seed of woman. And then he thought it was Moses. And eventually he thought it was Jesus. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months.
You know what's really wild though? When they killed all those little boys and stuff, mm-hmm. okay? It takes years to recover from that.
It does.
You know, years. It's like Brother Monty was talking about the war, you know, Gog and Magog. There's no way that war could ever take place because of all the people dying in the Armageddon war. Mm-hmm. It takes years,
that's right,
to recover from that.
It does.
Years.
Yeah.
It took years for us to recover from World War II.
Yeah.
That's true.
Women outnumbered the men over here.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's absolutely correct. It's mm-hmm. impossible.
It takes years. That's, I believe that's one of the reasons why China has allowed their citizens to have two children now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, go ahead, I'm sorry.
In verse 21, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Now look at the wisdom of God. He's being raised in the king's house, in the Pharaoh's house. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds.
But he always knew that he was Hebrew.
Yeah.
He always knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Movies out there, man, are just are lying about that.
And he was yeah, and he was a Levite. He was a priest.
Yeah, he knew who he was.
He was the first priest.
Yeah.
Who anointed all the others, because he was made as God. Powerful right there.
Yeah. You know, two of our prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they were priests, even though they were prophets. I'm not sure about Isaiah. Was Isaiah a priest too?
He was not. I don't believe he was. Jeremiah was, but Isaiah was.
Yeah, he was from Anathoth.
Jeremiah was from Anatol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was of priestly descent. I don't think Isaiah was.
Yeah. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, all of it. And was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his children, his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Now this is a very important thing to understand. If God wants you to do something, you can forget other people understanding it. Mm-hmm. Nobody will understand it fully.
That's
like
true.
You do.
That's just about right.
Yeah. And if you're looking for somebody to understand it, you may fail.
Yeah.
Remember, obedience, faith always looks to God. Trust looks to God. The anointing requires your faith and your trust, both of them. And both of them needs to be active so that God can, he's going to prepare you with sowing and reaping. Every great move of God was always prepared by sowing and reaping. God's going to give you the first seeds to sow. You sow those seeds and it's going to grow. Not only financially, but the anointing on your life will grow because the anointing thrives with obedience. And what God puts in your heart is not in other people's hearts, because he gave you that anointing, he gave you that calling, and it's very important that you bring it forth. And those that God selects to help you, let them help you. But trying to convince people to help you won't work. You're just going to have to do whatever it takes,
right,
to get you to the next point.
Praise the Lord.
I learned something. I was listening to Judges, and the Lord got, I'm going to do a writing on it soon. But Gideon, the first step that he had to do after he got anointed to do what God gave him, you know, to be that warrior that he was, he had to throw down his father's idols. Before any, you know, the first step was to get rid of that idol and cut down the groves.
Yeah.
So the Israel wouldn't think that did it. And then God did the mighty work in his life. So, and every, you know, they got with his father, wanted to kill him. And his father protected him, said, let Baal take vengeance for what he did. And they called Gideon Zerubbabel. So the first step, God gets rid of lies. And he always builds on a solid foundation. So you're going to have to trust God with whatever he say do. Simultaneously, you got to reject all fears, worry, doubt, anything of Satan, unbelief. And this is what came to me yesterday. In business, I said, there's something I don't know about prosperity. But I did everything that I knew. I said, Lord, teach me what I'm not getting. Something, I'm missing something. And yesterday, he showed me plainly what it was. And he gave me instructions in business, and he gave me a protocol, and I have to do them. And when I do, I'm blessed. But if I get in any form of fear or concern or worry or anything like that, if you act on any fear or speak any fear, Satan gets involved with what you're doing. In every relationship, there can be no fear in the relationship, or Satan's also involved with it. And he'll interrupt your prosperity. But obedience conquers everything. We're more than conquerors, because when we follow God, we're moving in his stead, and his anointing is on us, breaking yokes as we go.
Amen.
So when in obedience, you're invincible. In disobedience, the enemy is always, he's looking for you to give him place somewhere. And it is so subtle you won't notice it. But to make it all simple, just trust God and keep going. Do what God give you to do. Bless it. You have a right to bless what you're doing. Bless it, pray over it, confess it, and keep going.
Amen.
And we'll pick up there next week. I got to underline that verse. But Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. Bless us to continue and be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding with joy, doing your perfect will.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name. All that's in your heart.
Lord. Amen, Lord.